This is the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. This is hour one. For more information, check us out on Facebook at Around the House with Eric G. Now let's get to the show.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G. From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way. All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio. Welcome to Around the House with Eric G.
Happy weekend, everybody. Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement for 2 hours every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. You know, we love to talk home improvement, and today we've got a great guest calling in here because everybody likes healthy homes, but most people don't really know how to deal with a healthy home. So we've got my friend Carolyn Blazowski, America's healthy home expert. She is a rock star of healthy home stuff, and we're going to dive into this today. Welcome, Carolyn. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Eric. How are you?
Oh, this is so much fun. We did this last year, and we only did it for an hour, and we just, actually, I think it was even a half hour. We just dove into it, but there's a lot of stuff we didn't even get to touch on, so I'm super excited. Let's talk a little bit about you for a second and what you've been doing out there with healthy home stuff, because I think you're everywhere on social media right now.
It's been crazy. So there's this big push now for everybody to have a healthy home. So I've been quite in demand, and you know, people are always looking for ways to get healthier. And we know that homes are a really important piece to that. We often forget about it, but our homes can make us sick and they can also make us well. So I've been pushing that agenda for 20 years now, and it's getting busier and busier.
I know. And then we get more information out there and more information. And it seems like we've got, you know, things that maybe people got away with, you know, a decade ago, or now we're actually talking about.
Exactly. From building products to formaldehyde to water, you know, everything is just coming full circle.
Yeah, you know, you got formaldehyde, we have asbestos, we've got lead. I mean, there's a myriad of things out there that get in the way of a healthy house, that's for sure. One of the things I wanted to talk about, which is big, is what are some of the things that you see out there, which, and in this, we could do 2 hours just on this subject. What are some of the big offenders of making your house not healthy?
Well, mold is the big one that we always hear about, and I like talking about it because it's in all 50 states, right? So everybody's got mold exposure, whether you live in California or you live in Nevada, and people think, oh, it's drier there, you may not have mold. But anytime you've got differentials in temperature, you're going to have some condensation that happens, especially in basements, crawl spaces on a slab. If your slab is cold and the airflow is warm, then you're going to have, you know, the potential for water vapor. So mold is a big one. And then, of course, leaking appliances and all that good stuff that we have and bathrooms. You know about remodeling. You want to be remodeling frequently. So mold is a big one.
Yeah, it is. And it just, it sneaks up on people. And it's funny. You'll see people notice that they've got those little black spots appearing maybe in the over behind the toilet maybe, or just in the corner of the bathroom. And they're like, oh, I need to take care of that. But it gets not taken seriously so many times.
Yeah, and molds kind of do three things, right? So I like to talk about what they do so people understand it. And so molds can be that fuzzy thing you see growing on a piece of fruit or in your shower, like you said. And that is the spore. So that's that black. It can be green. It can be gray. It can be white. It can be all different colors. And that's the mold itself. And that produces an allergen or inflammation in the body. But molds also produce a VOC. So we always talk about VOCs with paint. That's usually the typical, you know, reference for it. But molds actually produce a VOC too. So when they do that, they produce a chemical into the air. And thirdly, if you have that toxic mold that we talk about all the time, the real toxic guys, they produce mycotoxins. So that's why molds are so bad, is that they have this ability to do three things. And when they do it, they can make you really sick in the house.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, because you could have one of the molds that's not putting off the toxins, but it's putting the VOCs off anyway.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's still causing a ton of health issues.
Yep. And if it, you're breathing it in, like when you take a shower, what happens a lot, people get in the shower and then, you know, you're breathing in that nice steam, right? Taking deep breaths. And if you have mold behind the walls or you have it in the shower, you're just sucking it down. So, and these things can suppress your immune system. They can make you have more sinus infections, more chronic respiratory issues. So like I always say to people, if you're noticing that you're getting sick and you're staying sick a lot longer, you need to do a mold test in your home.
No question. And one thing, too, that I've noticed here, especially in the Northwest where I'm based, and I know you go across the country and homes are built differently. Like you get down in California and there's so many that are slab on grade where you've got a concrete slab and the house is built from it. But here in the Northwest, we have a lot of crawl spaces and a little bit of basements. But the crawl spaces, people forget about those. And I've popped crawl space hatches before and stuck my head down there, and they've got 12, 18, 24 inches of water down there.
Exactly.
Well, you know what kind of mold mess is going on down there. It's going to happen when you have that kind of, you know, what kind of water in that kind of space. And then you have all that air that's coming into your house from that crawl space. And that, it's just a recipe for disaster. And people just forget to check their crawl space.
No, they do. And also you have to remember the temperature, right? So you're getting a lot of, like, I know you're having wacky weather out there right now. My friend's out in Portland, and it's a very cold, right? You guys are having spring-like temperature.
Yeah, right? I like wearing shorts this time of year. And, you know, the last 2 days we've had hail and thunderstorms and that kind of stuff. It's all over the place weather-wise. And, you know, it's a few days ago that we had the big storms, but we get the weather just kind of popping around. But here's the thing. We get that. I mean, we'll have, you know, we've already had a 100-degree day here, and then we turn around and it's 65 for 4 or 5 days, and everybody freaks out. So it's the Northwest. We get used to that. But that
change in temperature, that drastic change, is what contributes to this mold and moisture and condensation problem. Because if you're running a concrete foundation that's, say, 56 degrees and you get a pop of 100 during the day, you're going to sweat on that foundation and cause this vapor. And that's how it gets in. Because people say, oh, I never had a leak. I've never had water. But we have mold. Well, that's why. Because the houses are taking on differentials in temperature.
Well, yeah. Right? When we had the big storms, the next day I wake up in the morning and it's foggy at 4:30 in the morning. I mean, it is like pea soup fog, and it's like, wow, you got condensation everywhere.
It's crazy. And so I guess that's what keeps me in business. And we, you know, do a lot. I do a lot with dehumidification is huge now. Like everybody is putting them on either on your HVAC system. You can install one, like especially if you don't have a basement or a crawl space, you can use dehumidification actually on your HVAC, which is useful for people who have that differential in temperature in the building envelope, but they don't have a basement. Or you can do standalone units in crawl spaces, or you can do them in basements. And so most people are going to dehumidification now because we need it. The humidity is just too high. And so when you're running over, say, 60% in a house, and that's, I usually say you want to stay between 30 and 50% for your RH. But when you are up that high, what happens is you give the mold and the dust mites and bugs all that moisture to feed on, and that's when they start coming. So if you want to keep a healthy home, one of the simplest things you can do is just monitor your RH.
I do that. I've got the Nest thermostat in my house, for instance, and that works really well. And I can just eyeball it and take a look at it. And then there's even a setting on there where it'll run my AC compressor to dehumidify if necessary. Now, my power bill pays the price, but I am giving it a healthier home by doing that, even though I don't have a dehumidifier in the house.
So you're using your HVAC system?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And what people need to realize, too, is that, you know, energy efficiency is so great. Like, we talk about zero energy, and that was a big thing out at the building show in April, and so everybody's talking zero energy. But the problem becomes when we seal up these homes so tightly, yes, we bring in fresh air, like maybe we're using a ventilation system or an ERV or something to exchange the air, but what we're forgetting a lot about is that moisture. So when you're not running air conditioning frequently because the house is tight and you don't need to keep it cool, you build moisture from showering, from, you know, just daily activities, from weather that gets trapped in that house and can't get out. And that's where this moisture becomes an issue. So now we're going to have to use dehumidification separately, you know, off of the HVAC, because the HVAC isn't running as frequently just because of the conditions of zero energy. So it's interesting. We now have a lot of big moisture issues in a lot of these more energy efficient homes.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you have, anybody's ever worn a pair of, you know, put on a dust mask and put safety glasses on, you realize how fast you can fog those safety glasses up.
Right.
That's humidity you're putting in the air.
That's right. And we put it out showering, cooking, just breathing, you know, all of it just accumulates. And when that building envelope is so tight, because you've got, maybe you have Tyvek, and then you've got, exterior insulation, maybe you have blown-in insulation, maybe you have, you know, vinyl siding, and then you put all these different, you know, building envelope, the exterior gets tight, then you just can't get rid of that humidity. There's no way. It can't vent out.
Exactly. Hey, let's talk a little bit more on building construction here. We'll talk about that and more just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand for family, friends, and all the fans. If you're gonna take on the world, fight like a band.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. I want you to join in the conversation. We want to put you in the show. 503-521-7072. That's our 24/7. Give us a call. Send us a text to 503-521-7072. And we've got a bunch of questions coming up here in a little while we'll dive into. We are talking with my friend Carolyn Blazowski. She is America's healthy home expert. She is the person that I rely on out there to talk about healthy homes. Welcome back to the show, Carolyn.
Thanks for having me. Love being here.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a little music trivia next segment that you've got. So I like it. You see, I'll give a little insight here. We talk 80s hair bands on Facebook from time to time. So we have a good time doing our music thing. But let's talk about healthy homes here. We were just talking in the last segment about, you know, about having these homes that, you know, 50 years ago, we didn't worry so much about tight homes because it just wasn't an issue. You had so much air coming in and out. It was super inefficient, but nothing stayed in there for long as well when you're talking to moisture and contaminants, because we had kind of a good draft going, it seems.
Exactly. And I think we had posted, you and I, we post a lot on social media, and there was a question about carbon dioxide, I believe.
Yeah, I've got them right here. We can dive into this. I mean, this is from a guy, Matt, who I know pretty well. He's a kind of an expert on the construction and sealing up of homes. So he does a lot of seminars and stuff, and he's a good buddy that way. But one of his questions was should a typical homeowner be worried about CO2 levels in their home?
Yeah, and I thought that was a really good question, because definitely. So what happens is a lot of, and I talk about it because of the holidays, it's usually the typical time of year, you know, when you have a lot of people in the house and after you eat a big meal, everybody gets tired, right? And they think, oh, it's just because I ate all this food and I'm digesting. But in reality, what happens is a lot, when you have a lot of traffic in the house, that CO2 level builds because we're all breathing out and you've got too many people in a small space and everybody starts to feel tired. So that's a great question. So yes, the more traffic, more people you have in the home, that can contribute to CO2. Also, your combustion. So you want to make sure that all of your appliances are serviced and everything is, you know, really, I always recommend to my clients, go out and make sure that you have your gas checked. So call the gas company once a year, make sure they come out and do an investigation. You're not bothering them. Natural gas and, you know, even propane as well are things that can leak. And if you get a small leak of natural gas, for example, it can make you very sick and you don't even know it's there. And also you can have carbon monoxide leaking, and they'll also check for that.
So that's even a more deadly situation.
Exactly. So it's really important. And when that's on a low level, it can make you chronically sick. And a lot of the units that we use, people say, well, I have a carbon monoxide detector. It's in the home. I'm safe. But it's set for a very high level. So if you're leaking at a very small level, you're not going to know. So it's important to have that checked, have people come out, you know, if you trust your HVAC company can do it, but I usually say call the gas company directly and have them come out and do an investigation.
And they would love to come out and do that because they're all about safety. They don't want the bad press of not having safety, so they're happy to come out and take a look at that stuff.
And everybody should do it, you know, at least once a year, if not every 2 years, but just have them come out. And it takes 5 minutes. They just run a meter. They'll check your carbon monoxide, which is different than carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is what we breathe out, right?
Yep.
And that's what we need to live, survive. But carbon monoxide is the extra gas that's produced when you have you know, sources of combustion, and they're not combusting properly. So you want to make sure that that's checked, and they can do both.
Yeah, the carbon monoxide is when people decide to bring their barbecues in their living room for some crazy reason, and they end up getting a bunch of people hurt. That's what that is, and bad choices can really make a big difference with that.
Or a bad heat exchanger.
Yeah.
Right? Yep, that's all carbon monoxide.
And that's the stuff you got to be careful with. So one of the things, too, that it's funny here in the Northwest, and I know that building codes are getting a lot more standardized across the country as people kind of take on the international building code out there. But for instance, in Oregon State, great example, in Washington State, they did a little bit sooner. But only 5 or 6 years ago did they start to make it mandatory to have a vent hood over your range. So you could have a gas range, you know, like a pro-style gas range in your kitchen and not have a vent hood. And that's all of that's gassing off in your home, including all the contaminants from cooking.
Exactly. And cooking is one of the biggest, like when we test VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, right? So VOCs, we look for a total number of what someone is exposed to in a house. And so when we're looking at that number, we want to keep it under 500 nanograms per liter. To most people, that means nothing, right? So they say, well, what does that mean? But a lot of American homes are running 2,000 nanograms per liter, which is way too high.
That's a lot.
And a lot of these things come from, just like you said, cooking, the stoves. It can come in from paint cans. It can come in from fragrances. You know, maybe your wife is storing hair dye and lots of cleaners and all those disinfection wipes. That stuff all adds up to... So that all adds up to chemicals, and when it does, it can become a big problem.
That's a big deal, you know, especially when you're talking that. I mean, that you think about all those things, they just kind of aggregate out and add up into a whole bunch of unhealthy situations.
Exactly, exactly. So we have to make sure that everybody is checking not only their, you know, combustion, but then they're also looking at the amount of chemicals that they're putting in the home and how they're getting them there. You know, it's easy to just store paint and not think about it, and it really does create a problem.
It does. And one of the things I want to talk about ventilation real quick before we go out to break here in a minute, because this is one of our shorter segments. You know, it's interesting. So many people put in the inexpensive vent hood, but I tell people, if you love to cook, get something in there where you've got 300 to 400 CFM as a minimum, but make sure if you get over that 400 CFM ratio of that fan, make sure that you get, and that's cubic feet per minute, make sure that you're putting makeup air back into the house to replace that, because in today's tight homes, you can be sucking carbon monoxide back in your home. If you've got the dryer and the vent fan running at the same time, you can cause an unhealthy situation.
Or fireplace is a big one.
Yeah.
You can pull it right down the flue. You know, what's interesting, too, is that, and it's not only with houses that are tight, right? So any house, you can have this pressure, and, you know, you'll pull negative pressure, and then you'll pull it through the house. It can happen from basements, too. So when we were talking about carbon dioxide, that can come from the soil. So you can pull radon in through the house. You can pull soil, when the soil gets really damp, sometimes when you have wet weather, it doesn't breathe the way it should. So you'll pull in all the different chemical compounds from the soil.
Yep.
You can pull in like the radon, like I said. And so all of that can contribute. So yes, absolutely. You want to make sure you're venting the appropriate amount of air and bringing in fresh air.
Perfect. Well, let's talk about radon a little bit more just as soon as Around the House returns. To Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Why don't you check us out on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, because that's where we have a lot of fun during the week. Of course, we've got Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all the normal social media things. And if you missed any of this show so far, make sure you find us on our podcast, which is now everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartMedia, just about anything out there. If there's something I missed, send me a message on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. All right, we're in the studio here talking with Carolyn Bozowski, my friend, America's Healthy Home Expert. She's a rock star out there, and we've been talking all about kind of inside your home, but I wanted to talk about radon because this is a big deal, and there's something I actually learned about radon this last year that was interesting. Welcome back, Carolyn.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah, well, here's one thing I realized, and I didn't know about this until after talking to another radon person about it, but if you are living in a radon area and you had your home tested and you were good, after you have a seismic event, so let's say you have a 3 or 4 earthquake out there, you want to have your house retested because of that seismic event, it could have changed the cracks of where the radon was coming up. And if you're in a radon-prone area, make sure and have it tested again because you might not have radon before, but you might have it now.
Exactly. Any changes to the foundation and then also to the building envelope. So if you add energy-efficient windows or you add siding, all of that insulation, that all tightens the building envelope and can launch the radon up from, say, you had a 2 picocurie, which is an okay level. Now you've got 6, 8, 9. Some people have 20. So, yes, any changes to the building envelope or the foundation is really important to test again.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of studies here in the Portland area. And, of course, across the country, it doesn't matter where you are, you can't have radon. I mean, you'll be going down a house down the street and you'll go, this house does, this house doesn't, this house does. And it's interesting. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There are areas that are more prone than others. Doesn't mean you're safe from it.
No, and it's a colorless, odorless gas. You're not going to smell it or taste it, and you're not going to know you're being affected until it's too late. And it is one of the leading causes of lung cancer in the country. So it is really important that people test. And it can also follow up your water, which is interesting. When I do well testing, and I do a lot of water testing,
sure,
it will follow up the pipes. And you can actually get a really big concentration of it when you're showering. So when you turn on the pipe, a lot of it actually comes right out of the pipe, right into your face, right while you're showering. So it's important to test it in water as well to make sure that it's not coming out and you're breathing it in.
See, this is why I like talking to you, because every single time we chat about this stuff, I go, hadn't thought of that. And that's one of those. I mean, it's great.
It's
because
crazy. It's crazy,
yeah,
stuff.
You well,
know? And like, you learn. I'm always learning. You know, I've been doing this 20 years, and you're always learning something new, and it's kind of fascinating. And it's all things that we should know, but it's just not the focus. Like you said, over the last few years, it's become more prevalent. But before, you know, people never really thought about it.
No, and especially in the water. I mean, you can get sulfur gas up through there if you've got a well and you're grabbing sulfur. You've got all these different things, but radon being a gas, it can be in there just as easy as any other gas in that.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Okay. Something else we need to be checking for out there, people. This is why we bring Carolyn on the show, to learn this other good stuff. So we've been talking, you know, this is a rock and roll show with some home improvement mixed in the middle of it because we have a lot of fun with it. You and I do a great job of talking music because it's kind of both of our lives a little bit. And, you know, you and I talk about some of my intros and stuff, some of the crazy bands I bring on here, but it sounds like you've got a quiz for me today.
I do. Everyone, I have put together a trifecta, 3 songs, and Eric always tries to impress me with his knowledge of rock and roll. So I have put together a little challenge for him, and he's going to listen to 3 songs, and it's Name That Tune, Eric G.
I love it. Let's jump to that real quick.
Be young, run free, a little bit better than it used to be.
Okay, so I heard right off the bat Fallen Angel.
Oh, yeah.
And then I heard Livewire, Motley Crue. And I'll have to get the 3rd one here because I was so stuck on those other two. Let me
You're
listen.
So good.
Let me listen to this real quick. Hold on.
He's a rock star.
Let's play it again one more time, and I'll see if I can get the 3rd one.
Be young, run free, a little bit better than it used to be.
Oh, that last one.
Hmm.
Oh, I got it here. Oh man. Oh yeah. Who is that? Oh, I know the song too, and that's the part. Okay, I'm gonna have to go for 2 of 3 of that one.
Okay.
The 3rd one, I know that. Oh man. Okay. So in the name of good radio here, I'll let you get this one here because it's gonna sit here and bug me in 10 minutes. I have it. I know how this goes in.
Da-na-na-na. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
It's a Tesla song.
Yeah, it is.
It's What You Give.
Yeah, Tesla. What You Give. There we go. Thank you. I've seen Tesla a bunch of times too, and I'm like, oh.
There's also a very similar riff of that. That's I'm gonna have to email you a couple. There's like three songs that use that riff. That's awesome.
It's amazing. We had the good group. We had the crew. We had Poison and Tesla. Can't
you
get
got
better
it. That is awesome. Yeah. No. Anyway, I saw Motley Crue when I was a little kid. Before, and I say little kid because I was like 14. Saw him down in L.A. before their Shout at the Devil stuff came on, and just got to catch them through the door of a club, and that was absolutely amazing. So
yeah, I did that too. The whole Whiskey a Go-Go was great.
Oh, I love that. I was actually back there. We're going to get off Healthy Homes for a second here, folks. But my buddy Justin was down there. He played, used to be the drummer for, what are they? Not Appetite for Destruction, but the big L.A., Guns N' Roses cover band. But long story short, he was playing Whiskey one night as the opener, actually as the headliner. So we had the green room. So I got to hang out with them in the green room at the Whiskey. And I'm like,
oh, cool.
Oh, man, the history of this room is pretty epic for a green room. So that
it
was
is.
Pretty cool.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. So
let's game on.
Game on. Okay. We're going to do
next
this again.
Visit, I'm up in the ante.
All right. And then I'm going to have to do it for you. So maybe we'll do a midweek special here that'll be all music between you and I of throwing stuff at each other. That could
that
be a fun
good.
One. All right. Stay tuned on the podcast for that one. So, all right, Carolyn, let's jump back to Healthy Homes because, you know, we were talking. And if you're just joining us, this is not The Rock Show. This is Around the House with Eric G. And I'm talking with my friend Carolyn Blazowski, America's Healthy Home Expert. She is all about healthy homes. And we have digressed for months on Facebook, so it's good for us to digress on music for a minute too here as well. But let's talk a little bit more about some of those things. It's funny the stuff that people bring into their homes that are actually unhealthy. You put one up. It was shocking to me that I was like, well, duh, that's like vaping inside your home, but with a Glade air freshener.
That's it. So people love to store stuff, and they like to bring lots of chemicals. And one of my big things is the disinfection wipes. So when I test air quality and I go into someone's house, I can pretty much pinpoint what you have. So I'll be looking at your chemical load, and I'll say, you have this. Maybe you're storing wine. I'll tell you you have gasoline stored. You have disinfection wipes, and people are just amazed because they can really see everything by your air sample as to what you're storing. So it blows people's mind, and I'll say, you know, you're storing this, and they're like, how do you know that? And I'm like, the chemical compounds are telling me that you're using these products. So, you know, people overuse these disinfection wipes so much, and people go to Costco and they buy the big bulk, you know,
guilty as charged.
That's it. And when you bring that in, it outgasses all the time into your house, even though you're not using them and you're just storing them, comes up in your sample. So don't do that. And really try to minimize them. They're really actually really, really problematic when it comes to air quality. So you want to keep it to a minimum.
Good to know. Looks like I'm making some changes here. But one of the ones that you had posted up maybe a few months ago on social media, I was like, hadn't thought about it, is those, like, not to bash a brand, but like the Glade plugins that you have that oil and the stuff in there that you plug in the wall, and all of a sudden, you know, you'll see the big, it'll have a orange or yellow or pink or purple liquid in it, and it plugs in and it's your air freshener.
That's right. And, you know, look, it's not just whether you're buying a synthetic one or you're buying, like, say, essential oils. So all of these fragrances, and that's why I don't like to just pinpoint one person, right?
Yeah.
It's not just them. The essential oils and the natural ones are also bad too. So when you get a lot of these VOCs that come off of natural scents or synthetic, so like, for example, if you build a house and you bring in pine and you bring in Doug fir and you bring in all these different woods, they produce volatile organics, and they also produce formaldehyde. So naturally occurring things will produce these chemicals. That's why you have to watch what you're doing, whether it's natural or synthetic, because you're still going to be having a chemical a load. So you want to remove those things or try to ventilate and keep things, you know, open so you're not breathing all this stuff in. So natural or unnatural fragrances can be a problem.
Man, no kidding. Hey, let's jump out to a break here real quick, Carolyn, and we'll be back. Let's talk a little bit more about formaldehyde just as soon as Around the House returns. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Had to throw a little rat in there today. Have a little bit of fun. Welcome back to Around the House. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we want to get your questions out there for upcoming shows. Give us a call at 503-521-7072. 503-521-7072. We're talking healthy homes here with Carolyn Blazowski, America's healthy home expert. Hey, if you want to check out, too, I've posted up here this last week on Facebook, which is Around the House with Eric G. I installed in our Morga de Oregon segment here, which goes across the country in the more segment. So it'll be in Morga de Atlanta, Morga de Las Vegas, those things it shows up in. But we did a Panasonic vent fan installation where we took out a really horrible vent fan and put a really good one in. So if you want to see kind of a DIY tip for that, check us out on Around the House Online, where I have all my videos up there. That's the website for Around the House there. Gee, welcome back, Carolyn.
Welcome back to you. Hey, did you put in the Whisper? I love Panasonic fans. I think they're great. Which one did you install?
I did. I put in the green Whisper light with the humidity control sensor.
Awesome. That's a good one. And also, I like their ERV units, too. So you can install a fan that's got an actual energy recovery ventilator as well.
Those guys are awesome. And I've been using Panasonic for probably a decade now, that they've been really making awesome fans. And I know I sound like a commercial with them, but I tell you what, my biggest complaint that I've had is that people don't know when they're on because they're quiet.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I'm with you, too. So if you need a good bathroom fan, pick up a Panasonic. It's awesome.
Yeah, those guys rock. Good people to work with. So we did that this week. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've been talking healthy homes with you here. And there are so many things, you know, formaldehyde's one of those that there was a certain flooring company that CBS kind of busted about 2 years ago now. And what they were doing is they were selling formaldehyde free rated CARB products. And CARB is the California Air Resource Board. They were certifying that this stuff had no added formaldehyde to it. But the problem was is they were using formaldehyde glues in it.
Correct.
And so they got in a bunch of trouble. And then they got in even more trouble when they started handing out formaldehyde test kits that always showed negative. So anyway, my point is that you want to test your home for these things. And more importantly, don't trust all the labeling out there, especially if you're buying lower end products where it's not certified that it's a CARB product. So let's be careful with formaldehyde out there because it shows up in the craziest of places.
Yeah. And it's also, We obviously do testing at My Healthy Home, which is my company, and we do formaldehyde testing, and it's a really easy test. We basically just send you a tube, and you take some air, and it comes back. And what we have to realize, in the United States, our formaldehyde levels are exceedingly high in our building. So, you know, we use the European standard for safety, but then what happens is in residential homes, I know we're going to run much higher because we just do, because it's in everything and it's in a lot of building products. And why I worry about that number is it's one of the things that we're concerned about as a carcinogen. So there's three things I like to look at, like in a home right off the bat. And I tell people, you know, it's cheap, do a formaldehyde test. It doesn't cost a lot of money. See what your carcinogen level could potentially be there. Also look if you have chlorination. So if you have, you know, city water or public water system and you're having treatment, chlorination will produce what we call chlorination byproduct, and those can be carcinogenic. So you want to check your water. And then thirdly, radon, as we talked about, you want to make sure that your radon levels are low. And those are three easy tests you can do. You know, do a water test for formaldehyde. You can do them, you know, maybe one a year so it doesn't get expensive. And you'll have a good handle on some of the major carcinogens you could be, you know, exposed to in the home.
Man, that is a good call because those, you know, great example. If you like bamboo flooring out there and if you did not make the right choice on your bamboo flooring, they'll cut the bamboo down, and in places in Southeast Asia, how they keep it from getting moldy is they dip it in vats of formaldehyde.
Exactly.
So the problem is that ends up in your home.
That's right. And you want to get MSDS sheets or safety data sheets. You know, you can always ask a company when you go to purchase a product, hey, what's your MSDS sheet? You can have an environmental consultant look at it like me, have somebody look at it and see what's actually in the product. And, you know, it should be labeled appropriately. Sometimes, obviously, there are things going on that are not up to snuff, but most of the time, everything will be good. So you want to look at that, see what you're getting. And remember, hardwood also has formaldehyde naturally occurring. So that's why you don't want extra formaldehyde, because you're going to have it in wood products as a naturally occurring substance anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the example of just look at what a formaldehyde that's in an apple.
Exactly.
You know, and so you want it where it's no added urea. Formaldehyde is the key with that. Hey, when we come back in the next hour, I want to talk about some of your tricks to keeping homes healthy, because I know this time of year people open up their windows and they let all the hot air out and the cool air in, but let's talk about keeping your house healthy. Let's do that just as soon as Around the House returns.